He will give you a spirit. Don't doubt that. The cool part is, even if you doubt, he's faithful. I doubted and I saw it and I wanted, like I said, for 10 years, seriously, maybe even 13, depending on how you look at it. I mean, I think the first time I ever sought the Spirit of God, I was like 15 or 14, maybe younger, 12, 13, I don't remember. But I didn't receive it till I was 31, I think, 2005. I was 31. I turned 32 that year. So it was a long wait. It seemed long. But I wasn't that old. I mean, it wasn't like I was an old man. You think about the guy in the temple who was waiting for Messiah or the prophetess.
I believe it was Simeon and Anna, the prophetess.
In the Gospels, they were waiting their whole lives, and that God had revealed to them that they would not die before they had seen the Messiah. And even they got to see him. There are generations that died never seeing the promises of God. And we see so much more of it. So much more. I look at my surroundings. I've got this awesome Bible. You know, I've got several dozen Bibles, actually, and I've got all these really cool study tools that allow me, at my fingertips, put such power of, you know, searching words and ideas out that I, and then the computer, what I can do with that, even with some of the programs I've obtained over the years. It's amazing. We have so much, so we have reason to have faith. Yeah, we haven't exactly put our hands in his wounds, but there's a lot of reasons to have faith these days. Verse 7, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. This is one of the two churches in which Christ finds no fault. He does not order them to repent, but says only good to them. And of course, it's interesting because they have some similarities, which we will delve into. Philadelphia, city of brotherly love. These things saith he that is holy, he that is true. He is true, he is holy.
Be therefore holy because I am holy. Be true because he is true. Speak the truth because he is the truth. As it is written, let God be true and every man a liar. We may be false, we may be traitors, but God is true, God is faithful.
That's why we put our faith in him. You know how I overcome sin in the flesh? I don't trust myself to be more of a righteous man than I've ever been, to follow some code of laws or ethics, but rather I look to Christ. Teaches me, I know what's right, you know, but he teaches me how to be it, how to turn into that. Not always with the rapidity that I would desire, but over time I've seen it. I'll be 40 this year, and I'm not the man I was when I was 20. I can testify of his long suffering with me and of my patient
waiting for it.
Not at first it wasn't so patient, but he has taught me to be patient, to wait. You want to pray, God, give me patience. Well, you know how he makes you have patience? He'll make you wait for things. It's unpleasant sometimes and makes you mad, but if you have faith, you'll come through all right. My faith has been tried to the edge, where I just didn't want to believe anymore.
And that's how he built up my faith, by pushing it. If you want stronger faith, he's going to send doubt. It's like if you want to grow big, strong muscles, you go out and you lift weights until you lift all that you can. And you feel like you can't lift anymore. And that makes you stronger. And same thing with faith. Your faith grows when you face doubts so strong that you feel like you cannot cope with them. But then you do, and your faith is stronger.
He never suffered me to be tempted above that which I was able to bear. Beyond that which would cause me to turn from the faith. He He is faithful and true. He has the key of David.
The key of David. The key of David. Oh, the key of David. They love these sort of mystical Antipas. The key of David. Oh, the mysterious key of David. What could this mean? This must be some important key for understanding.
They swallow the gnat. No, they strain out the gnat and they swallow the camel. You'll hear certain sects, they become completely mentally unstrung over these keys of David. You know, the key of David is that the Jews are the devil's children and true Israel is the Western European nations.
The royal house of England is the royal house of David. You know, who are David's true descendants? That's what the key of David is all about.
That's the key of David. There is a reference to it in the Old Testament in Isaiah 22, verse 22. And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder. So he shall open and none shut, and he shall shut and none open. And I will fasten him in a sure place, and he shall be for a glorious throne to his father's house. And that was just speaking of Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah. He was going to take the place of this Shebna, the scribe. Because Shebna was the sort of nail that was in a sure place. It's not easy to get a big, long nail out of a nice piece of wood. It takes some effort. You can't just pluck it out with your fingers. You know, that requires tools. And so, well, not invincible, they are tough. That is what that guy's likened to, but I'm not going to delve into that too deeply. I'm going to be doing a study on Isaiah after Revelation. That's the next book in line. The point of the key of David is the key of the house of David was the servants of the king would go in. You know, he could make a way for someone to go see the king. He could say, you want to see the king? I'll bring you to him. And he could also do, you want to see the king? You're not going to see the king. And nobody's going to let you in. It's the idea of someone who has this absolute power of access. Christ has the absolute power and authority of access to the divine. He is the door. He has the key of David. He is the way in and out. He opens the door. He keeps it shut. You can't get in without him. And with him, no one can stop you from getting in. That's all it means. The key of David is the key that opens the way. He is the one. He is the door. He is the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I have the key of David. I am the door. You cannot get in without me. He can blind people's eyes. He can turn them away from the truth. He can cause them to be deceived. He can suffer to be so. These are powers that he has.